As I was reflecting on these scripture readings this week, I realized that a unifying thread running through them seemed to be this point. We are all, every one of us, called to be instruments and agents of God's great plan for the salvation of all people. Something I read in our catechism helped me to come to this conclusion. It was paragraph number 306, which says the following: God is the sovereign master of his plan, but to carry it out, he also makes use of his creatures' cooperation. This use is not a sign of weakness, but rather a token of God's almighty greatness and goodness. For God grants his creatures not only their existence, but also the dignity of acting on their own, of being causes and principles for each other, and thus of cooperating in the accomplishment of his plan. In our first reading today from the book of Leviticus, God says to his people through Moses, "Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart." And then he concludes by saying, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." The greatest expression of love that we can show to another person, our neighbor, is to actively will that he or she be with God forever in heaven. That is God's plan, and there is no greater good that we could conceive. That's why we try to even love our enemies, those who might persecute us or persecute other people. While we do have a duty to defend justice and protect the weak, we still want every person, even an offender, to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth about eternal life in God. Jesus affirms this teaching many times in the Gospels, including in our Gospel reading today, where he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun to rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust." God still gives his blessings to those who choose to do wrong because he wants to convert them. And sometimes it's part of his great and mysterious plan that even the person who is wronged, even the actual victim of some injustice, can be the very agent of the wrongdoer's conversion. I think I've told you the story in a homily before about St. Maria Goretti, and some of you may know the story quite well, but I'll tell it again here very briefly because it is such a great example of what Jesus is talking about. Little Maria Goretti, when she was only 11 years old, suffered a brutal assault. After she had refused the advances of an older farmhand named Alessandro Serinelli, he stabbed her multiple times. She was taken to the hospital, but her wounds were too severe, ultimately taking her life. In the last hours of her life, Maria forgave her attacker, expressing her wish that he would repent and turn to Christ. Alessandro received a sentence of 30 years. While in prison, he had a dream in which Maria appeared to him, offering him lilies that burst into flames. As a result of the dream and the encouragement of a priest, he turned to God. When he was released, he went to Maria's mother and begged her for forgiveness. She did forgive him, and they attended Mass together, receiving Holy Communion side by side. Alessandro went on to become a lay brother of the Franciscan Capuchins and was present at Maria's canonization in 1950. St. Maria Goretti and her mother Assunta were able to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, as Jesus encourages all of his followers to be. Had they not been able to love their enemy, that Alessandro Serinelli, he may have been doomed by his own choice and bad actions to eternal separation from God, which is what we know as hell. Jesus wants us to act in the same way as St. Maria. He's telling us today that we can bear with wrongs and injustices that are done to us, And if we summon the charity to return a blessing instead of another evil, we can make a big difference in another person experiencing the goodness of Christ at work in this world. Again, I go back to that first reading from Leviticus, where God says to his people and to us today, "You shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. Though you may have to reprove your fellow citizen, do not incur sin because of him. Take no revenge and cherish no grudge against any of your people." This kind of charity, we know, is not easy, but it is possible. The saints' lives attest to its possibility, and our faith declares that Christ's grace will help us to act in ways that are much better than our own fallen tendencies. He offers us a new way of living that can break the cycle of violence and revenge, hatred piled upon more hatred, that has plagued our world ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. With every Christian who sincerely tries to follow our Master's example of showing love instead of hatred, God's plan is being accomplished. His kingdom is being established little by little. So when St. Paul says in our second reading today, "Brothers and sisters, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" we are being reminded that God's work is not only meant to be happening within us, but also to be happening through us. As I said at the beginning, we are all, every one of us, called to be instruments and agents of God's great plan for the salvation of all people. For that to happen, though, we do need to be continually filled with God's grace, which we are as we celebrate these sacred mysteries of our Savior.